Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ireland is playing a risky game with our food security, and we should have a citizens' assembly on how we produce our food and rely on imports to feed livestock, which we then send abroad in the main. That's according to one of my next guests. But according to the Department of Agriculture, Ireland is one of the most food secure countries in the world. And we know climate change is affecting food production globally. So how do we track the changes and how do we react? Well, I'm joined in the studio now by John Sweeney, who's a climate scientist and emeritus professor at Maynooth University. And on the line by Elaine McGough, who's Ontashka's environmental officer. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being here. John, I'm going to speak to Elaine first. You might need your headphones there if you can locate them, just to have a listen in to what you're saying, because those comments about what's happening with our own food security, Elaine, you say that we are playing a risky game and that we need to start talking about this.
Yes, Claire. So while Ireland often ranks quite high in terms of food security, that is based on metrics that rely on stable international trade routes. And as long as they keep functioning, we're fine. But when we look forward to increasing climate breakdown and, you know, breadbasket failures across the world, where does that leave Ireland? I mean, it's reasonable to assume that any country faced with shortages of food or grain would prioritise its own population first. But where does that leave Ireland in terms of being able to feed ourselves? It's a very risky strategy because the Irish system focuses primarily on beef and dairy, of which we export 90%. And instead of moving towards a more diverse system and growing food for direct human consumption, we're actually seeing the opposite happen. Fruit and vegetable growers are hemorrhaging from the system because they can't make ends meet. Cereal production is also decreasing. And what we're seeing is that we're going in the exact wrong direction. Instead of tackling this food security issue and ensuring we grow our own food for human consumption, we're focusing instead on business as usual and export markets.
Mm-hmm. And John, to bring you in on this, if we look at our delicate ecosystem, food in mm-hmm. and food out, we are very reliant on the international market for what we consume and what we feed our animals to. And what's been happening to global food production and the bread baskets that we are so reliant on?
Well, your listeners, Claire, will remember that lovely bit of summer we had 4 weeks ago, which is now a distant memory. But it was as a consequence of a blocking anticyclone which settled over Ireland and gave us a sustained period of drought and heatwave conditions. And the concern globally is that those kinds of blocking anticyclones may become more frequent as climate changes and as the jet stream becomes more unstable. And the consequence of that in particular are growing concerns that we may have failures as a result of those kinds of conditions in multiple breadbasket areas of the world, in areas like the Ukraine, the plains and prairies, Australia, and even Western Europe. And the risk there is that we may face a situation like we faced in 1972 to 74, where world food production fell, and it fell at the same time, of course, as global population was increasing, pushing more and more people into food insecurity. And that's really the worry, I suppose, that many of our climate models don't really give us a good handle on the extremes. Many of our crop production models don't really estimate properly the crop reduction yields that we may face in such circumstances. And that's something which is becoming of a lot of concern, because we know that heat waves in multiple areas have increased sixfold in the last 40 years. So that kind of risk, I suppose, at a time of growing population, at a time of pushing more and more people into food insecurity from energy increases, especially in the developing world, that's where I think Elaine is alluding to, that we may therefore face difficulties in getting what we need in terms of maize and wheat imports into Ireland.
Okay, because I mentioned there as I was introducing our chat today that the Department of Agriculture says Ireland is one of the most food secure countries in the world. Elaine explained why she believes that statement is over reliant on everything remaining calm and peaceful in other areas. Do you agree with her? Do you think that the Department of Agriculture is being a little too flahoolock with that statement, in that they should perhaps be more concerned about how our food, how secure our food supply is.
Yes, I agree completely with Elaine. We import in Ireland about 1.6 million tonnes of maize every year, about 500,000 tonnes of wheat, masses of rice and soybean, and a lot of that is simply to feed cattle. We export the produce from that. But in terms of if we could live on dairy produce alone, we might be self-sufficient, but we can't. And therefore, I think what Elaine is saying rings true in the sense that we really have to look at making our suppose diversity the key to stability in the future, much more so than it is now, because those threats, they are increasing. I mean, we're seeing falling crop yields in many parts of the world as at a time when population is increasing. We're seeing an estimated 43 million people in Africa alone moving into food insecurity, acute food insecurity. And in that situation, you know, it's going to be very difficult for countries to eke out their own supplies, especially in the poorer parts of the world. So I think it's time we did look more seriously at maybe becoming more self-sufficient in those key staples that we depend on.
So Elaine, if we were to have a citizens' assembly on this, what questions should that assembly be addressing?
Well, this is a really complex topic, and it's one that's going to be difficult not only to discuss but to resolve, because there's so many different aspects. We need to change our entire system. But that comes with risks to farmers' incomes. We need to tackle retailer monopolies. We need to ensure those facing food poverty are protected, because ultimately the Irish consumer needs to be willing to pay more for their food, because fruit and vegetable growers are not being paid a fair price for their produce. So our whole system is geared towards big corporations and big retailers to the detriment of small producers and farmers. And what needs to happen as a first step is we need to start having those difficult discussions to try to figure out a way forward, a way towards a system that will sustain us for the next 10, 20, 30 years. Those discussions aren't happening, and ENGOs are often portrayed as being anti-farming or overly idealistic. So the value a citizens' assembly could bring is that they could give us a clear-eyed view of the situation and make recommendations that stakeholders could hopefully coalesce around. This is very complex. It's going to be a very difficult discussion, and there's an awful lot of people that need to feed into this. Mm-hmm.
John, just going back to the global scenario, there are many different things to consider here. There's drought, there's flooding, there's the drying out of wetlands, the increase of fungal disease and the potential for it. Like, food producers may have to adapt, will have to adapt, but in other places, the level of change might be too great to adapt to. They might not know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, I think that's a very true statement. But there is no real choice apart from adapting. You know, you either adapt or die if you're living in sub-Saharan Africa, if you're living in areas which are already on the margin. And I think in terms of adaptation, it's also worth reminding us that, you know, the global food system is responsible for one third of global greenhouse gas emissions. So in a sense, you know, countries like Ireland, rich countries who are using grain from other parts to feed cattle, countries like Ireland where their emissions are 50% above the European average, those kinds of countries are themselves contributing to global insecurity both nationally and internationally. So we can't escape the responsibility that we have to mitigate, firstly, our emissions, but also to adapt our agricultural systems to give some form of surety and security to what lies down the road. Because NASA, for example, are estimating quite substantial reductions in maize yields globally of about 17% by the end of the century. Mm-hmm. And population is not going to wait for those to happen. So we face a kind of double whammy in this area, climate change and population increase combining to restrict what kind of food security we may have in the future.
We were talking last week on the programme about the marine heat wave that we have been been experiencing around the coast of this country and other nearby islands. When it comes to rising sea temperatures, is there an issue there around food security when it comes to seafood and fish?
Well, I think it's certainly a big issue for coastal communities, but I think on the bigger scale of things, it's really grain that's the key issue here. We have this year prospects of quite a good grain harvest globally. We have stocks of about 30% of our annual consumption in terms of grain. Now, that's not an awful lot if you think about it. You know, it wouldn't take too much in terms of simultaneous droughts to really eke away at that total very effectively over a year or two. So I think, yes, marine heat waves are of concern. They will probably damage many marine ecosystems in terms of seagrass, in terms of the food chains in key areas. But I think if you're looking globally, really it's the grain production and the bread baskets which are most vulnerable.
Yeah, Elaine, can you see that, you know, if this problem intensifies and if individual countries start worrying about their own food security, that this becomes all about self-preservation and each country looking after themselves?
Yeah, ultimately that would be my worry. Like when, governments are faced with feeding their own populations or exporting grain or fruit and vegetables to Ireland, I think it's a given that they will prioritise their own population first. And, you know, it's vital. I think Irish people maybe don't realise the risks that are involved. Like Irish people are some of the most generous when it comes to giving to charities like Trochra and Concern. But we also have one of the biggest carbon footprints per capita. And development charities like Concern and Trochra have been saying for years that, you know, if we want to contribute to food security in developing countries, then we should rapidly reduce our emissions. And that means changing the way we produce food. So if we're worried about, you know, food security both for ourselves and overseas, then we really should be moving to a more diverse and more sustainable agricultural system.
Elaine, I'm going to leave it there. John, thank you very much for coming in. Elaine McGough from Antashka and Professor John Sweeney. And we will speak again, no doubt. Coming up next, though, we're going to be talking all about Oasis.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.